Go to Romans chapter 8 in your Bibles, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 9 through 14, and I'll read verse 9, and you read verse 10 with me. And Romans chapter 8 and verses 9 through 14, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And let's pray together. Father, Lord, please help us to learn this truth. Lord, teach us so we can be more usable by you in the lives of others. Help us to invest in others and pass on what you've allowed others to invest in us. And Lord, please help us and prepare us so you can use us. And Lord, we ask this, please, for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been learning how to teach others the fundamental truths of the Bible. And tonight the lesson is going to be on teaching a new Christian about the Holy Spirit. And I told you before, anything that becomes old hat to you, and like, yeah, you know, missions, yeah, I've heard this before, the Bible, yeah, I've heard this before. Working with a new Christian that God gives you always makes the Christian life exciting. Passing on what God's given you adds that excitement and zeal. And so if this is, I don't think this is boring to anybody, but if it's old hat to you, if I asked you the question, remember, I'm trying to get you in a mindset. If I said, could you take your Bible and go over here in the corner and spend about 20 minutes and teach this young Christian about the Holy Spirit, what verses would you use? Where's the first place you would go in your Bible? And if you're drawing a blank right now, that's okay. That's what I want to equip you with, all right? So tonight I'm going to take you through, if I could take a convert, and I've done this many times, this is the, for instance, this morning's truth on the Holy Spirit, that is a wonderful truth. John 16, what we went through this morning, probably a little more complex than for a young Christian. However, I think it needs to be taught. It's just that wouldn't be the first thing I'd teach them about the Holy Spirit, what we did this morning. Tonight, this is the path I would take somebody to help them understand who lives inside of them. And so, let me see here. The Godhead, or the Trinity, is God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And as you read the Bible, God teaches us that the Holy Spirit has all of the attributes of Almighty God. Now, that's not the Bible study tonight, but that's a truth that is supported probably by about a 45-minute Bible study. And to illustrate for you, when you go to the, you don't have to do this, the first place, I tell you what, if you want to go where we're headed, go to Isaiah chapter 43. Go to Isaiah 43. In your Bible, we'll go to the book of Isaiah chapter 43. But to show you how important this topic is, when you start reading your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Just reading your Bible, not knowing anything about your Bible, in the second verse you're introduced to In the first verse, God the Creator. In the second verse, God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved. I could then take you to Genesis 1:26, where God said, "Let us make man in our image after our plural likeness." Then Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image." God speaks of himself as being one God, but multiple, plural, our image. Let us make man in our image. Then when you go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible, in verse 17 it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come." The Holy Spirit of God is from the front of your Bible to the back of your Bible and all the way through. This is a major topic. It is a big topic. Now, to show you that the Holy Spirit is God, look at Isaiah 43:11. It says here, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. The word Savior means one who dies so another lives. That's if you're somebody's Savior, you would, right? You help them live. God says, "I am God and I am the Savior. There is no other Savior but me." So there he's speaking. You could say in the plural, you're in Isaiah 43, go to Isaiah 45. Look at verse 21. Isaiah 45, verse 21. "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord?" And then watch. "And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me." So God is declaring himself as the Creator again and the Savior. So here we go in the plural. Look at verse 22. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." What wonderful verses in your Bible as far as, no, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all three Almighty God. All right? And that's just an intro. If you wanted to use Genesis 1 and Revelation 22, go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, back near the Revelation. There's many other verses, but we're going to close this point with this verse here. And keep in mind, what we're getting ready to look at is only in your King James Bible. It's not in any other Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 has been removed by all the other Bibles. So look at 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 7. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." I don't think it gets any simpler than that. They call that the simplest verse on the Trinity in the whole Bible. And isn't that amazing? That verse is not in any of the other Bible versions. It's only in your King James Bible. So the Holy Spirit is God Almighty. Now go to John chapter 3. Not 1 John, but go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 3. And watch this. I would teach somebody, first of all, the Holy Spirit is God Almighty. I was talking with a Muslim at 7-Eleven and witnessing to him, and he said, "Please don't tell me the Comforter is the Holy Ghost." And I said, "Okay, I won't, but God will." The Bible finally says that, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He goes, "Oh, you Christians." I was like, "You Muslims. You don't stick with the Bible." I said, you criticize it. I said, "But no, the Holy Spirit is, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost." And I would show them that the Holy Spirit is God Almighty. Then look at John chapter 3 and look at verse 5. "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit, small s." So there, God says, I would show a convert, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit birthed your spirit and made it alive. You were born of the Holy Spirit. the part of you that was dead was reborn. Because Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. What? Your spirit, the part of you that God saved, the Holy Spirit birthed. Take your Bible and let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus, back there, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. I've heard several people in our church say, and I understand, but several people have said, I've never discipled a young Christian. I've never sat down. This is what we used to do in the Servicemen's Center when we would lead men to Christ. We'd get them saved, fill out the convert slip, then go out and we'd start talking. And one of these topics, reading your Bible, going to church, getting baptized every once in a while, this is might be lesson number 3 that you'd teach somebody. We'd always say, hey, come over here, sit down, let me show you the Bible. Then we would begin something like this. I hope this isn't, I don't think it is, but I hope it wouldn't be weird to anybody. You mean sitting down? Yeah, let me show you something from the Bible. Let me show you what you need to know. Can you imagine the sorrow? I think it's so sad to think that a Christian could get saved and not be taught about the Holy Spirit of God. Yet a lot of Christians are. And here's what the other thing I'd tell a young Christian. Are you ready? Don't look up the Holy Spirit on the internet. Don't do it. There's too much junk. Trust your pastor to help guide you. And you know, you've heard me say this, when I got saved, we didn't listen to preaching unless it came from our church. Now, I know there's a lot of good preaching out there. I like hearing Brother Shiflett preach. I like hearing Brother Terry Angel preach. I like hearing Brother Gomez preach. There's a lot, but if you don't know what you're doing, you can get into poison so fast. So I would tell any convert, that's not for you yet. Let me help you. And watch this. Point them to our website. There's enough preaching on our website to help them. Amen? So over 700 sermons and Bible studies. I kind of wonder why people go elsewhere before they go to ours. I'm talking our church members. Hey, have you been to so-and-so? And I'll say, well, have you ever been to our website? No. I'm like, why? The labor we do is for our people first. Why wouldn't you go to our website? Now, there's a lot of better preachers than me. I'm not saying I'm a good preacher. I'm just saying, my goodness, you have a resource available to you. Here we go. You're Titus, but I'll get that in just a second. Meet the Holy Spirit. That's a whole book on the teaching of the Holy Spirit by Dr. Hiles. This is free on my website. You can, the whole book. This is one of the best books I've ever read, ever, on the Holy Spirit. I've not read its equal. The second book I've read that I enjoy, now it's the only book by Dr. Rice I really enjoy, but The Power of Pentecost. Convicted me, helped me, talks about powerless Christians in here. I know it's a big, thick book. And they've at the Sword of the Lord, they've taken out all of his references to the other versions of the Bible that he used to use. I think he used to use the RSV and the RV and stuff like that. All those are gone. All he put in there only the King James Bible. So it's good. Okay, another book, R.A. Torrey's Plain Papers on the Holy Spirit. Awesome book. Is that Torrey? Oh, no, that's Oliver B. Green. And I thought this was Torrey's book. Nice. It's good, simple teaching on the Holy Spirit. And then The Doctrines of Salvation by Dr. Bob Gray Sr. All I'm trying to tell you is don't go to the internet on the Holy Spirit. There's too much poison. There's too much stuff to filter through. There's so much Pentecostal garbage, so much tongues and stuff that a young Christian could literally just get swept away with. And if you need good books, oh my goodness, go to my website. They're all free. So use them. I would point them to that long before I would point them to the internet. Look at Titus chapter 3. Look at verse 4. Ready? But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not, watch, verse 5 ought to be marked in your Bible, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How did he save us? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize when you got saved, you were washed, you were regenerated. Regenerated means regened. What are your genes? Your genes are what make you you. And when God saved you, he regened, or he changed you. He changed what your spirit is. You used to be a child of Satan. Now you're a child of God. That took a change only the Holy Spirit could do. And then it says he renewed you. All of that was done by the Holy Spirit of God when you got saved. The Holy Spirit's very important, and he lives inside of you. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Boy, did we turn to this verse a lot. Boy, do I use this verse a lot. All right? And as far as for a young Christian to understand, to try to help them, what happened when they got saved. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, here we go. You heard the truth. You believed the truth. Then, when you got saved and you believed the truth, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, I know people don't know what canning is nowadays. The older generation does. But I'll say, just like grandma would seal or can those peaches or green beans or whatever, just like a can is sealed until it's, when you put that can opener on it, it normally pops or sucks air. When you got saved, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And one day, your body's going to be opened, and your spirit, when you die, is going to go to heaven. Until then, you're sealed. You're sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of God. Who did that? The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And so, that's Ephesians chapter 1. I love taking people through those verses. Watch this. Now go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. So you were sealed, you were saved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what did the work in you. He redeemed you. He changed you. He saved you when you got saved. Now you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And now God lives inside of you. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is God's hope of glory. It's our hope of knowing that we're saved. And God says, now that, okay, you're sealed, you're the dwelling place of God. God lives inside of you now. I don't know how God can do that. How can God, who it says fills eternity, he's that big. He makes the mountains smoke. He can speak things into existence. That whole God lives inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a wonderful truth. God's always with you now that you're saved. And the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. I could go to, just listen to these verses, Romans 8, verse 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. 1 Corinthians 3, 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6, 19, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. And God says, I will dwell in them and walk in them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You're the dwelling place of God now that you're saved. You really need to think that one through. That's a wonderful thought. There's never a place now you'll go where God isn't. God's with you. That's why I said this morning, be careful where you take God. Make sure you don't take him to a nasty party where he's not welcomed, because he doesn't leave you just because you went to the party and you're where you shouldn't be. Don't take him around people that don't want to be around him, because when you hang around the wrong crowd, he doesn't leave you. He stays inside you. But what an insult to God that would be, right? You're now the dwelling place of God, and the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. beautiful thought. Now that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, I know we said you're sealed, but go to Hebrews chapter 13 and look at verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13. If you see James or 1 Peter, you've gone too far. Hebrews chapter 13. When I was in Bible college, Pastor Owens used to tell us what to teach the teenagers. He said, all of you have teenagers you've led to the Lord. He said, you better teach them that God lives inside of them. He said, what a horrible thing. He said, a teenager could use the Holy Spirit to fight the wrong crowd and the drugs, but you, as their leader and helper, you teach them. So guess what? He didn't go through this Bible study like this, but I'd been through it before. And I thought, wow, the young people need to know this. Adults need to know this. Look at Hebrews 13:5. I think all these need to be marked in your Bible, but it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said what? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember I told you, when you do wrong, God doesn't leave you. He lives inside of you. That's why, you know what changes your Christian life is when you realize you have a relationship with God. He goes everywhere you go. Since he never leaves you and he's always there, if you spent all day with somebody tomorrow and they never spoke to you, like didn't even say, hey, come on over here. Hey, like the, nothing. You never acknowledged they never acknowledged your presence. Would you feel wanted? How much do you talk to God who's with you all day long? You mean you can spend all day and never say, I love you, thank you, Lord, for saving me, all day? He never leaves you nor forsakes you, even when you don't love him back. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad? Here you go. That was Hebrews 13:5. After he saves you, then go to Romans 8:16. Romans 8, back to Romans 8, and look at verse 16. Okay. Now the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I'm sealed. He'll never leave me. I'm the dwelling place of God. Now, what does he do? Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 16. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God says the Holy Spirit's job is to witness with your spirit that you're saved. Somebody said, well, how do you know you're saved? How do you know you're on your way to heaven? Well, I have the peace of God in my heart, first of all. That's what the Bible says. And look, the devil tries to get all of us to doubt, right? Like the devil will have times, you know, and you can get depressed as a Christian. And sometimes, you know, the devil will, you're not really saved. And you know you're not saved. There'll be small questions like that as the devil shoots fiery darts of doubt at you. We all get it. But when you never have the peace of God that you're saved, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. But there should be times of assurance where the Holy Spirit's telling you, you'll never go to hell when you die. You belong to me as God's child. That's his job. God that lives in you witnesses. Okay, let's look at this one more time. Go back to 1 John. You're in Romans 8:16. Go back to 1 John, right by Revelation, and look at chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and look at verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. It's the witness of the Holy Spirit. How do you know you're saved? I know I'm saved because... yes, when I was 20, I got on my knees and I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I wasn't trusting my works or my church or my baptism, but I know I'm saved because I've got the peace of God in my heart. That's 1 John 4:13, right? We know because of His Spirit. Go over to the next chapter. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. Watch this. That means I should be able to tell you, praise God, all you have to do to get saved is place your faith in Jesus Christ and he saves you, but I shouldn't have to talk you into being saved. Right? Not if you've got the witness of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. That's why I never say to somebody, oh, come on, you're saved. I don't try to talk them into it. They either have the witness of God in their heart or they don't. And that's why I'll say, if you're always questioning your salvation and always fearing that you're going to go to hell, then my goodness, get on your knees and accept Christ and get it over with, because it only happens once. Amen. Then you can have that witness and place your faith in him. But to live life every day, boy, I hope I'm saved. I hope I don't get in a car wreck. Hope I don't go to hell. God never intended for you to live that way. I don't fear hell. I've never died before, but I don't fear hell. There's an unknown about death because my heart's never stopped beating. So I might have a anticipation, but you know, the Bible calls it a river. It says, when you cross that river, God says, I'll be with you. I don't fear hell because of the witness of the Holy Spirit inside. You should enjoy that witness. Now, Isaiah 32:17, just listen to this verse, because I know with us turning every place, it's taking a little while. Watch this. Listen closely. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. That's Isaiah 32:17. God says when he saves you, he gives you assurance. He gives you the assurance. How does he do that? By putting the Holy Spirit of God inside you that witnesses with your spirit that you're a child of God. Amen? That's one thing you should enjoy as a Christian. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So God the Holy Spirit dwells in you now that you're saved. But God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every saved child of God is on their way to heaven because they placed their faith in Jesus Christ who died for them, but every child of God is not filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So God, very amazingly, says to be under the power or filled with the Holy Spirit or to be controlled by the Holy Spirit is exactly opposite of being overcome with spirits or alcohol. There's a reason they call them spirits. It's because there's demons involved. Spirits and liquor, see the stupid signs on the store. There's a reason alcohol's called spirits. God says don't be filled with alcohol or drunk with spirits. Be filled with the Spirit. That's because why? Watch a man when he's drunk. He walks different, doesn't he? Watch a Christian when they get filled with the Holy Spirit. They walk and talk different. When I talk to a person that's drunk, I can normally smell the liquor far beyond an arm's length. They talk different. Ever talk to a spirit-filled Christian? When you let God control you, you talk different. Just like a man filled with spirits, God says, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now that you have God living inside of you, and he'll never leave you, and he tells you that you're saved, yield to him or let him fill you. Because you can have God living inside of you, but him not have anything to do with what you're wanting to do. It's amazing to me. You know, we've been talking about marriage in the home on Wednesday nights. It's amazing. I watch so many Christians. Oh, this is the one I've always wanted. This is he or her. And then they get married and then things don't work out. And then they get a divorce and then they get angry at God because it didn't work out. I want to say, you know, while you were dating, did you pray? Or was your flesh just driving the sleigh? God had nothing to do with your dating. God had nothing to do with your selection of a spouse. But now when you get a divorce, guess who gets blamed? God does. There's a lot of Christians like that. They're angry at God. My marriage, my job didn't work out. Did you pray about what you're supposed to do with your life? Well, no, what I've always wanted to do is do this and make money. Did you pray about what you want, what you were supposed to do? God, why did you save me and why did you make me? What has God had to do with your life other than what you wanted to do? You were living in the flesh. That's why you can be saved, have the Holy Spirit of God in you. He'll never leave you. But just because you want to do it doesn't mean that's what God wants you to do. I'm amazed at how many people, well, the Lord led me, and they didn't. No, He didn't. You did what you wanted to do. You're living in the flesh. All you have to do is, well, what God wanted me to do. I know that's what everybody does. And nobody will say anything. Well, what the Lord wanted me to do. I really do hope so. But I watch a lot of people get bitter and angry. And really, it's because they're doing what they date who they want to do. They pick the job they wanted to do. God doesn't have anything to do with it. God, I'm doing this. Now you bless me. And if you don't, that's American Christianity. It is fleshly. It is flesh-driven. It is a selfish, proud. God says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice at the end of verse 18, there is a colon, a semicolon there, which means there's not a period. There's a semicolon. And when you're filled with the Spirit, God says, then here's the result. You'll speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is there a period or a semicolon? At the end of verse 19, there's a semicolon. He's not done yet. Then he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know a Spirit-filled Christian's thankful? They sing and they're thankful. According to Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Remember I told you, if a man's filled with liquor, he walks different and he talks different. And when a man's filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he walks different, he talks different, he thinks different, because he's under God's control. That's what God commands us to do. Now that you're saved, God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 8. I've told people for years, bring your Bible to church. You ought to bring your Bible and turn in your Bible. How can you tell I'm not lying to you if you don't have your Bible? You have to trust me, and I'm glad you do, but bring your Bible. Mark your Bible. It's good. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Ready? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So God says when a child of God, when his children have the Holy Spirit of God come upon them, they become powerful. They get God's power. Here's what a young Christian needs to understand. The filling or the fullness of the Holy Spirit is your power and strength as a Christian. Gasoline is to an engine what the fullness of the Holy Spirit is to a Christian. And for me, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. God says, it's not your intellect, it's not your IQ, it's not your personality, it is by the Holy Spirit of God. And whether you're used of God or not is based upon whether you let God fill you. Be filled with the Spirit. Let God's power come upon you. Go back to Isaiah chapter 44. I know we've been there once, but look at Isaiah chapter 44, a beautiful verse to think about. Beautiful verse. Isaiah chapter 44. Look at verse 3. The Holy Spirit is your power. He's your strength. Anytime you lose your joy, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Anytime the Christian life becomes mundane and loses its thrill, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the flesh. When you lose your anticipation and your excitement that you're a child of God, praise God, you can't lose your salvation. Amen. But you're a flesh-driven person. You're living in the flesh. And you're not going to enjoy. Watch this. Look at Isaiah 44. Look at verse 3. Ready? I would show this to a young Christian. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Colon. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. You know who gets filled with the Holy Spirit? When you get thirsty enough to ask. God likens the Holy Spirit to water, right? God says, I'll give water to him that is thirsty, and I'll give my Holy Spirit, I'll pour out my Holy Spirit on anybody that asks me. And the only reason a Christian isn't filled with the Holy Spirit of God is because they don't want to be. They're not thirsty. I got my money, I got my future, I got my plans. God, I'm glad you saved me, but, you know, don't want you messing up anything that I got going. Are you thirsty? How bad do you want God? How bad do you realize when Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing? You are worthless without me. Do you ever pray, dear God, please use me? God, please use me. Let my life count for something. I just don't want to earn money and then die on this earth. Lord, use me. Please. God, fill me. Give me your power, please. God, do you ever thirst for it? Do you ever want it to where it's just you? I think this is something personally. When I got saved, they sent me to the rifle range, and I was the only guy in the barracks, and I remember reading two books, Jack Hyles, Let's Go Soul Winning, and then I remember reading Leonard Ravenhill's Revival Praying. And he spoke of powerless Christians in that book, and I'm a young Christian, and I'm reading Leonard Ravenhill, and he said, boy, you'll put your knees under the table any time, but you'll never put your knees in the upper room and beg God for his power. And man, the more I read that book, I just was so convicted. I remember finally, when I closed the book, I had read about souls. I'd never led a soul to Christ. I read about the Holy Spirit. And I remember just praying. I thought of all the people that I'd known in my lifetime that I had never led to Christ. And I thought, dear God, if you'll give me a chance, I'll try to win my friends that I went to school with. I'll go back. Dear God, would you use me and fill me? And I prayed all night long. I'd never prayed into the night before, but I was thirsty. God says, I'll pour my Spirit on anybody that wants it. Christian, I don't think you have to pray through the night every night, but has there ever been a time where you were like, God, I'm a powerless Christian. I'm not filled. I want to be. And Lord, if you don't fill me, I'm a useless individual. Please help me. Do you ever cry out for the filling of the Holy Spirit? That's what God wants us to do. Isaiah 44:3. What a beautiful verse in your Bible. Look at go back to the New Testament. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Jesus is teaching on prayer here, and we've gone through this a little bit. But look at verse 13, and I think it's just one of the most amazing verses. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And boy, you know, with Christmas time, I think everybody can relate to this. You know, everybody enjoys giving gifts, and you learn it's better to give than to receive. And you look forward to giving somebody something that you think will be a blessing to them. And you get excited about that. But read Luke 11, 13 with that idea of giving a gift in mind. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I wish you'd underline the words, ask him. We all get excited at Christmas. Man, I can't wait till they open that gift. That's going to be awesome. Yeah, what do you think? You're evil. I'm evil. And God says, if you get happy about giving a gift to somebody, do you know what makes your heavenly Father thrilled? When you ask him for the Holy Spirit of God, please fill me. God, I know he lives within me, but please fill me. And he said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Can I ask you this? When was the last time you asked God to fill you as a Christian? Because if you haven't asked God to fill you, you're not. You've heard me say this before. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is something, God's very careful. God gives his power to those that want it. But nobody is accidentally filled with the Holy Spirit. Like you didn't wake up one morning and go, oh, wow, the sun's out bright and shiny, I'm happy, and wow, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. That's garbage. The only reason you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God is because you asked the Lord. how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? I think it ought to be the first thing you do every morning. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for life. Dear God, help me today. Please fill me. And you need to ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. Because unless you ask, He doesn't fill. It doesn't happen. Very important. That's Luke chapter 11. Now, here we go. Go to John chapter 17. You're in the book of Luke. Go over one book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to John 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. Watch this. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. How come it doesn't say, this is life eternal, that they might trust Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent? It says that they might know, this is eternal life. That you have a relationship with Jesus Christ now that you're saved. He lives in you. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. Now, if I could help you love Jesus and enjoy spending time with Him, the Holy Spirit could fill and use you, based on John 17, verse 3. I love that verse. Take you're in John, go over one book to Acts chapter 4. Watch this. Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 12. Remember now, I'm trying to show a young Christian. You're not going to understand it all, but let me teach you about the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you now that you've trusted Him as your Savior. Let me teach you what God wants to do with you. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He gets done preaching that. And look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus and being filled with the Holy Spirit is the same thing. If I could get you to read your Bible and pray and know that when you're reading the Bible, you're spending time with Jesus, and when you're, that's Jesus talking to you, and when you're praying, that's you talking to Jesus. If I could get you to, instead of going through the motions, what's the calendar say today I'm supposed to read? Oh, great. There's more to it than that. This is your time with the Lord, right? That's your time with Jesus. If I could get you to enjoy it. It says they took knowledge that Peter and John had been with Jesus. That means they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If I get you to love your Bible reading and pray, it would be very easy for God to fill you because you enjoy Him. You've heard me say it before. God help you if the only time you read your Bible is Sunday. I mean, God help you. I don't know what to tell you. I love you. I pray for you. I want the best for you. But you will not grow until you make your relationship with Jesus the number one part of your life. When you do that, watch what happens after that. It's amazing what falls into place. Because God helps you when you put Him first, not when you put Him on the shelf. Look at here in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them aught that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I thought I would reach a point in my Christian life where I could go soul winning and I wouldn't be scared anymore. I will just let you know, after 35 years of soul winning, I still get scared. I still need the Holy Spirit of God. After you've been doing it that long, I just thought it would get to be more natural. And you know, I'm not. I need God. I don't like rejection any more than anybody else does. I need God to give me His power so I can speak the Word of God with boldness or freedom of speech. And you get the same thing when you let God fill you. Christian, if I asked you, is being filled with the Holy Spirit of God your priority? Jesus did say, without me, you can do nothing. And you know what? You'll continue to do nothing. until you get filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you only have to get saved once. What else would you show somebody? The Holy Spirit is the comforter. In John 14:6, he said, I'll give you another comforter. In John 14:26, he said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. In John 15:26, it says, when the comforter is come. In John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. Four times, I told you this morning, the Holy Spirit of God is called the comforter. Now that you're saved, you have access to supernatural comfort. Because life is hard. And I don't know what you're going to face next year or until Jesus comes, but all of us have had heartaches and the wind knocked out of us. And if you haven't, you haven't lived long enough yet. How do you deal with life? He who lives inside of you is the comforter. And you have access to supernatural comfort, God's comfort, if you'll let the Lord help you. You heard me say this morning, I get so frustrated. The things Christians turn to. Well, I just got under stress and I just had to binge watch for 26 hours till I fell asleep. Did you ever read your Bible? You mean God wasn't a part of anything you run to? When the bottom falls out, when the financial reversal happens, when the car wreck happens, when the death in the family happens, do you ever run to the Lord? Lord, it's happening. I need you. He's the comforter. Please, Christian. He lives inside of you. He'll never leave you. He's sealed. You are sealed until the day of redemption. You have the comforter. What else? Go to John 16. Look at John chapter 16. Look at verse 13. John chapter 16. Look at verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You know what else I show a young Christian? When you read the Bible, you're supposed to read it tomorrow. It's Monday. You're supposed to read it Tuesday. When you read it on your own, do you know who's teaching you? The Holy Spirit of God. He'll guide you into all truth. So when you pick up the book, just say, Lord, this is your book. I can't understand it without you. Please help me. And then you read your Bible. He'll guide you into all truth. That's John 16, verse 13. Go back to John 14. Look at verse 26. Look at John 14, verse 26. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, watch this, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That means God wants to guide you into all truth and teach you his word. You can't learn this book without, this is not a textbook. This is not a newspaper. You cannot learn the Bible without the Holy Ghost of God teaching you and helping you. And look, when you're in a good Bible-believing church, when you've got access to your pastor, look, when the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and your pastor are lining up, it's wonderful. Then you can, how do I know I'm not getting something stupid and fleshly? Use the three lights that guide into the harbor. Two lights kind of get off. Use all three. That's why I tell people, look, I made reference tonight to the internet. I'm not trying to control you. I'm just saying what you have access to is a lot of junk that I didn't have access to when I got saved. Now, you've got the whole global library. And there is, I will say 90% of it's trash. 90% of it's written by lost people. There's some good things out there, but if you'll use an experienced man of God to help you, guide you through it, I can point you to a few good websites. But for the most part, if you need preaching, come and see me. I'll give them to you on a CD. I'll give you a whole CD full of sermons that won't hurt you or take you in a stupid direction. God says he wants to teach you all things. That leads me now to my last point. Make sure you read the King James Bible because it's the only book God ever wrote. 2 Peter 1:21 says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The other Bibles are imposters and perversions of God's Word, and the Holy Spirit will not use and bless them. So if I want the Holy Spirit's power, I need God's book, the King James Bible. I want God's blessing. An American with an English gentleman was viewing the Niagara Whirlpool Rapids, and he said to his friend, "Hey, come over here. I'll show you the greatest unused power in the world," thinking of the Niagara Falls. And taking him to the foot of those Niagara Falls, he said, "There they are. That's the greatest unused power in the world." And he said, "Oh, no, my brother, that's not so. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God, because so few Christians will let themselves be filled with His power and the Holy Spirit." Can I ask you tonight? We went through the Bible, and in a basic Holy Spirit Bible study, so that you could be equipped to help somebody else. In so doing, you're introduced and reminded of some beautiful truths. Can I ask you, have you ever yielded to the Holy Spirit? Have you ever asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Could I ask you right now, are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? When you were saved, you received all of God, and He held nothing back from you. The Christian life is now you learning to give yourself to the Lord. God doesn't have, "Okay, good, you've earned it. Now here's the second part of me." God says, "No, I gave you all of me." The Christian life is me learning to yield, to humble myself, to let Him lead. "Lord, show me, teach me, help me, guide me as I read Your Word." This is not a question of, do you have the Holy Spirit tonight? It's rather, does the Holy Spirit have you? Does He have all of you? It's not zeal or talent or scholarship. It's God's power. Savonarola, he said, "I will not preach until God's power is here." When he came to the pulpit, he sat down in the chair. They had sung as a church, and he sat there, and he said, "I will not preach until I know God's power is upon me." Do you know how long he sat there and the people waited? 5 hours. What a testimony. "I will not get in front of God's people and preach that book without power." He was eventually burned at the stake. There was another man named George Fox. He spent 2 weeks by himself trying to get the power of God. 2 weeks. Man that I worked for, Dave Baker, he'd lived such a rebellious teenage life, ran away from his mom and dad, lived a horrible, immoral life. When God dealt with him and broke him, God called him to preach. You know what he did? He took his car. He found a spring coming out of a mountain, and he said he just drove his car up there. All he took was his Bible. He said, "And I had fresh water coming out of the ground." He said, "And for 1 week I did nothing but fast and pray. Dear God, please give me Your power." He said, "I didn't need anything." He wanted God's power. He wanted God to fill him. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your Christian life will be changed. Your bad attitude stops. It's supernatural. Your negative talk and your criticism, it goes totally out the window. You can tell when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you get negative, when you get critical, when you get gossipy. "Well, I just think this," and I just, you're in the flesh. You're in the flesh. Christian, tonight, could you take the basic teaching of the Holy Spirit? Are you a Spirit-filled Christian? And if you're not, aren't you glad? All it takes is a surrender and a yielding to the Lord. Amen? That's what helps all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank You again, Lord. I know this is a major truth. It's all through Your Word. But Lord, please.